Defense Secretary Mark Esper says the U.S. has finished pulling troops out of northeastern Syria. About 600 U.S. troops remain in the rest of the country. Esper says those troops are focused on counterterrorism operations against what's left of the Islamic State. Meanwhile, Russia has moved in to fill the vacuum that the U.S. created when it left the area. NPR reports Russian flags are flying in Syrian Kurdish towns. The Syrian Kurds are longtime U.S. allies, but they have turned to Russia for military support since President Trump's withdrawal order in October. Joining us now is Peter Galbraith, former U.S. ambassador, longtime specialist on the Kurds, and just back from Syria. Welcome.
Good to be with you.
Well, and first, what do you make of the news being reported by NPR that Russian flags are flying in the Kurdish territory of Syria?
Well, it's not surprising because the Russians have come in along the border. They have military police there. They're protected by the Syrian Kurdish military forces. But overall, the scene in northeast Syria is perhaps a bit reminiscent of the bar scene from Star Wars. There are Russian troops, there are Turkish troops, there are regime forces, and of course, there are the Kurdish forces.
You just returned from the region yourself. What were you doing there, and what would you say things are like on the ground at this point?
Well, I've been part of a process talking to the Syrian Kurds about negotiations with Damascus, as well as mediating between the Syrian Kurds and the Iraqi Kurds. But also, I was involved in an effort to extract some children from the ISIS camps. Got out a young American 3-year-old, so with some success.
Well, tell me more about that.
Well, so there are about 10,000 foreign women and children. About 7,000 of them are children in 3 camps. All of the women chose to go to Syria, and most of them remain radical. But if the children remain in the camps, first, it's a terrible place for children, but also they're going to grow up and be radicalized. They'll be the next generation of jihadis. So the idea is simply to try to get as many of them out as possible. In this case, it was an American orphan and a German woman and her children, a woman who had long since renounced the Islamic State. And all of them are back in Germany. The American is back in the United States.
You also met with the leader of the Syrian Kurds, right, Mazlum Kobani?
I did.
And how does he feel about the U.S. pullout and the future of the Kurds in Syria?
Well, it's no surprise that he's deeply disappointed. The United States had been the ally of the Syrian Kurds. It had provided the Air Force in the successful battle against the Islamic State. It had provided weapons. And Trump administration officials had repeatedly told them that the U.S. would stay until Iran was out of Syria. And since Iran has no intention of leaving Syria, the expectation was that the United States would be there for the long run. But of course, the trouble these days for foreigners who have to deal with American diplomats is that they often don't speak for the President of the United States, who impulsively does other things. So, you know, there was great disappointment, an effort to figure out what do we do now. If they had known this was coming, they would have been in a much stronger position to negotiate a deal with Damascus. But, you know, that seems to be the only plausible course they have. The Syrian Kurds never fought against the Syrian government. Really, there were 2 separate wars in Syria, one of the Kurds against the Islamic State, and then and that was on the east and north of the Euphrates, and on the west and south, it was the government against a variety of opposition groups. So there wasn't a direct conflict. So some deal is possible, but you know the question is how much autonomy could the Kurds have? What would be the role of their security forces? And you know this clearly undermined their negotiating position.
The war in Syria over the last many years now has led to hundreds of thousands of deaths, millions of people displaced. Is the situation for civilians at this point as desperate as ever, or has it gotten better, do you think?
I think in some places it's gotten better. Where the war is over, there is an improvement. People are not being killed. It is not a happy outcome for millions of Syrians who had hoped for the overthrow of the Assad government. But even among Syrian rebels, having seen how things developed, many of them regret that the whole revolution started because of the enormous destruction and the enormous loss of life. Where things have gotten worse, unfortunately, is for our own allies, the Syrian Kurds, who had created a stable area, a place with a very interesting social experiment. For example, in all government positions, a strict gender equality between men and women so that their various legislative bodies are 50-50. They're co-prime ministers for each of their cantons, co-leaders, a male and female co-leaders for the entire area. And there, that experiment is in danger. A couple hundred thousand people have been displaced from their home. Hundreds have been killed. But really, the continuing problem is that what is Turkey going to do next? What is the United States going to do next? At the moment, Turkish forces are in, 100-kilometer area between Tel Abyad and Ras al Ain. But the main population centers are to the east and west of that, Amudey, where your NPR reporter was, Qamishli, the largest city. Will Turkey move into those areas? And if so, the human toll will be many multiples of what it is now. Or if it moves west to Kobani, again, you're going to have much greater suffering.
And is Turkey taking responsibility for the thousands of ISIS prisoners who had been held by the Kurds in that part of Syria?
No. The prisoners are still under the control of the Syrian Kurds. And there, many of them, particularly the fighters, are outside of the 32-kilometer zone that Turkey is saying it wants to intervene. But the other issue is that Turkey is the country that permitted the foreign fighters to enter Syria. There are about 40,000 foreign fighters, according to some estimates, who had joined the Islamic State. Every single one of them got to Syria through Turkey. And it's impossible to believe that Turkey didn't know what was going on. And we've seen the quality of the Turkish intelligence service in the Khashoggi affair, where, you know, they were able to tell the world, you know, minute by minute about what happened to Jamal Khashoggi, mm-hmm. the Saudi journalist who was dismembered in the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. You know, you can't quite believe they didn't know those 40,000 people were going to Syria to join the Islamic State. So it's hard to believe that Turkey is serious about trying to contain or detain the very fighters that it permitted to enter Syria.
I finally want to ask you, Peter Galbraith, do you think that the Kurds, who have been U.S. allies so many times, will ever trust the U.S. again?
It's certainly difficult. It's hard to imagine a people who have been whose trust has been more abused than the Kurds. And you know, the 1970s, Kissinger encouraged the Iraqi Kurds to stage an uprising against Saddam, and then acquiesced in its betrayal. In 91, the first President Bush called for an uprising. The Kurds rose up, and then Bush sat on his hands as Iraq attacked. And in 2017. The Trump administration permitted a Shia militia headed up by a guy named Abu Mahdi Muhandis, who had been convicted of blowing up the U.S. embassy in Kuwait, to use American Abrams tanks against the Kurds in the city of Kirkuk. And now in Syria, you have the what the Kurds see, and I think correctly, as a betrayal. And yet they continue to deal with the United States, perhaps because they don't have many other choices. But certainly the level of trust is much diminished. And finally, you know, what's happened to the Kurds is a sign of what happens to a people who don't have their own country. Mm-hmm. In the world today, having your own state is a huge form of protection. And of course, the Kurds are the most numerous people on the planet who don't have their own country.
That is Peter Galbraith, former U.S. ambassador, longtime specialist on the Kurds, just back from a trip to Syria. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, very good talking to you.